Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully, so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Major news from the White House today. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is out. He's being replaced by CIA Director Mike Pompeo. And the shakeup comes at a critical time. Just days ago, President Trump accepted an invitation to meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. He also looks ahead to tricky denuclearization negotiations. So this hour On Point, with Rex Tillerson gone, we'll look at where the Trump administration's foreign policy is headed next. You can join us on air or online. Are you surprised by the president's decision to oust his Secretary of State? What did you think of Rex Tillerson's performance during his tenure? And what's your view of Mike Pompeo and where he could take U.S. foreign policy? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me first today from Washington is Nihal Tusi, foreign affairs correspondent at Politico. Nihal, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so, in a sense, there's been a troubled relationship between President Trump and Rex Tillerson for some time. But why is it that this shakeup, this announcement came today?
Well, our understanding is that the president wanted to have a new team in place ahead of these talks that he's planning with the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. Nonetheless, it seems like this was quite a surprise to Secretary Tillerson. And we have somebody from the State Department basically saying that he didn't know this was coming. And so this kind of shocked just about everybody who's been watching.
Wow, it shocked everyone that's been watching. Okay. Well, that's interesting because, you know, it's been several months, 5 or 6 months, though, that there has been some focus on how long Tillerson would remain in the position. I mean, back in, October, November of last year, the New York Times first reported that John Kelly was writing up a plan to put Mike Pompeo in this position. So was it ultimately just sort of a matter of time before Rex Tillerson was ousted?
You know, I would have said yes back in November or December, that it was only a matter of time. But, you know, when February rolled around and he passed his one-year mark, there was a sense that he kind of hit his stride. Secretary Tillerson was planning trips to Africa, which he just took. He was looking at trips to Asia down the line. So there was a sense that he was settling in, that he had maybe passed over his differences with the president. But again, this is the Trump administration, and things are never always as they seem. So I guess we can't be totally surprised by it. But nonetheless, people have thought in the last few weeks that things were improving for Secretary Tillerson.
Yeah. So to your point about Tillerson feeling as if he had hit his stride, just back in January, Tillerson told CNN's Elise Labbitt that he expected to lead the State Department through the rest of this year. Here he is.
I think we're going to have a very productive 2018. Again, the State Department gets stronger every day, understanding what we're trying to do. And I look forward to having a very, very successful 2018.
For the whole year?
I intend to be here for the whole year.
Has the president given you any indication that you won't be around for a while?
None.
None whatsoever?
None whatsoever.
Nihal Tusi, I mean, so that's interesting. Okay, so Rex Tillerson himself felt like he was going to be around for a while. But the idea that the president hadn't given him any indication seems a little far-fetched because they have been at odds on a multiplicity of extremely important foreign policy issues for a year now, haven't they?
Well, yes. I mean, Tillerson has often taken positions that are somewhat different, somewhat a little bit more forward-leaning, perhaps on Russia, for instance, than President Trump. At the same time, you know, Tillerson has notched some wins in a way. I mean, he was the one who was advocating for talks with North Korea months ago when the president was telling him not to waste his time with that. And yet now the president wants to talk to North Korea. So in a way, it seemed as if Tillerson's point of view on a number of issues, not just North Korea, were the ones that were getting the upper hand. So that is one other reason that you can be surprised that Tillerson is being ousted at this juncture.
Yeah, but except, the case in the North Korea agreement to talk, if Tillerson's view was getting the upper hand, it seemed as if oftentimes he didn't even know it, right? Because last week when the president made that decision to talk with Kim Jong-un, if I remember correctly, a few hours before that, Secretary of State Tillerson had said that we're nowhere near negotiations with North Korea.
No, that's a good point. Although the distinction he made makes is that he says there's a difference between talking to someone and negotiating with them. And I think that is a fair distinction. I mean, it's one thing to have the president sit down with Kim Jong-un and just say, hi, how are you? Maybe we should do something. And a whole other thing to have a long process of negotiation about a country's nuclear weapons program. So, I mean, he is trying to make that distinction. But I will say this, it did seem like he was a bit taken aback by the president's decision, as apparently were just about everybody else in the administration.
Yeah. Well, Nihal Tusi is foreign affairs correspondent at Politico, joining us today from Washington. Thank you so much, Nihal.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's hear a little bit of what the president himself had to say this morning about his decision to let Rex Tillerson go. The president was talking about how he and Tillerson had a good relationship, but that in President Trump's mind, they really differed on certain policies.
We got along actually quite well, but we disagreed on things. When you look at the Iran deal, I think it's terrible. I guess he thought it was okay. I wanted to either break it or do something, and he felt a little bit differently. So we were not really thinking the same.
That's the president just this morning. Joining us now is Stephen Walt. He's a professor of international affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Stephen Walt, welcome to On Point.
It's nice to be with you.
So how big of a shakeup is this in terms of American foreign policy? Is this sort of President Trump bringing someone in who he has more of a mind meld with than he had with Rex Tillerson?
Well, that's certainly what it appears to be at first glance. But as you said a moment ago, with this administration, it's often hard to tell. It's not one that's been particularly predictable, organized, or systematic in its conduct. And it wouldn't surprise anyone if, you know, 6 months from now or a year from now, Mike Pompeo is out. After all, this is an administration where senior turnover has really been unprecedented. But the clip you just played, I think, does point to one big difference, and that is that Pompeo has been a notorious hawk on the Iran deal, even back when he was in Congress, and therefore you could see this as a move towards bringing in someone who at least agrees with the president on that particular issue. And you might even also see that as parallel with the recent resignation of Gary Cohn, the emergence of the more sort of protectionist wing within Trump's economic plan. That, in a sense, it's a reversion back to sort of campaign Trump of 2016 and not the same moderating influences that we saw in various parts of the first year or so.
Huh, interesting. Well, I mean, before we talk more about where American foreign policy might go next with Mike Pompeo at state, I just want to get your sense, Stephen Walt, about sort of the health and well-being and centrality of the State Department to the Trump White House in this past year, right? Because I feel as if there are a number of examples of how, whether through Tillerson's own actions in terms of his reorganization of the State Department or just the lack of trust between Trump and Tillerson, that that the Foreign Service has played a smaller and smaller role in terms of the decisions that the Trump administration has been making.
I think there's no question about it. And really, the problem was twofold. First is Trump doesn't have any particular commitment to diplomacy in the traditional or normal sense. This is a president who said at one point that he didn't need to make any of these appointments at the State Department because they were unnecessary. He told another journalist a few months later that he was the only one that matters. As the president who prefers to rely on his son-in-law and his daughter to perform delicate diplomatic missions for him rather than trained professional diplomats. So you have a White House that didn't have much regard for the State Department from the very beginning. But at the same time, you also had a Secretary of State who never seemed to actually be comfortable with the department that he was leading. He had accepted the idea of cutting its budget. He had launched a reorganization scheme that never really said, never really got anywhere, and that he couldn't explain. He couldn't articulate why he was making the changes that he wanted. Tended to be very secretive in his dealings with the rest of the department, and also, until relatively recently, rather poor at dealing with the press.
Mm-hmm.
So you had essentially both a White House and a State Department that not only were not in sync with each other, but never seemed to have a clear idea of the role that diplomacy was going to play.
Right. And so let me just jump in here if I could for a second, Stephen, because it seems as if also some of the largest unhappiness came from within the State Department itself for some of the reasons that you were talking about, right? That some 2,000 career diplomats ended up leaving the State Department while Tillerson was at the helm. There was that reorganization, budget cuts. It was just last November that Elizabeth Shackelford wrote a scathing resignation letter asking her colleagues at the State Department that if Tillerson, in her view, was unable to support and lead the department, that she would humbly request that they follow her out the door, and that the State Department was being wildly diminished. So unhappiness from within the agency he was supposed to run as well.
Right. And this is a long-term secular trend that really didn't begin with Trump and Tillerson, but they clearly accelerated it. And one way to think of it is this is just a way of giving our foreign policy machinery a lobotomy, where you're taking people who understand the countries that we're dealing with, who have lived there, who have dealt extensively with elites in other countries, and can explain to a new president or to a new Secretary of State exactly how they should do business with these different individuals by eliminating them from consideration, relying much more heavily on the military, which Trump has tended to do as well. We end up, I think, squandering opportunities and are going to make mistakes, the most recent of which being this rather impulsive decision to agree to a summit meeting with Kim Jong-un. Diplomacy with North Korea makes sense, but this is not diplomacy. This is just amateur hour theatrics.
Huh. Well, what do you make of the fact that there, you know, if Tillerson and his leadership at State have been diminishing the department, nevertheless, there have been very strong voices in the Trump administration on foreign policy. Nikki Haley at the UN, the president looking to Jared Kushner to have direct contact with several countries through the White House. I mean, they have been exerting quite a bit of influence on President Trump.
That's right. And then you have to decide whether or not you think those are the right voices you want to listen to. You know, a real estate entrepreneur in his 30s with no diplomatic experience versus people who have devoted their lives to studying the world.
Support for On Point and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Chances are you're confident when it comes to your work, your hobbies, and your life. Rocket Mortgage gives you that same level of confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. Rocket Mortgage is simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about President Donald Trump deciding to push out Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and instead put in Mike Pompeo, current CIA director, and where that might take American foreign policy next. I want to play a couple of clips here from this past year because Secretary of State Tillerson and the president did have a somewhat contentious relationship, tense to say the least. So what about this moment, this highlight? Last year, a reporter had asked the Secretary of State about an NBC report that Tillerson had called President Trump a, quote, moron after a July 20th meeting at the Pentagon with members of Trump's national security team and cabinet officials. Here's what the Secretary of State said.
Did you address the main headline of this story that you called the president a moron? And if not, where do you think these reports or
I'm not going to deal with petty stuff like that. I mean, this is what I don't understand about Washington. Again, you know, I'm not from this place, but the places I come from, we don't deal with that kind of petty nonsense. And it is intended to do nothing but divide people. And I'm just not going to be part of this effort to divide this administration.
Well, then in early November, during a trip to Geneva, Switzerland, Tillerson went on a walk in a park between meetings. And as the cameras were rolling, he spotted a statue of two figures curled up into a ball. And he joked that he could relate to that.
Secretary of State in Geneva for a meeting at the U.S. mission to the United Nations when he spotted a sculpture of two people huddled in the shape of a ball while touring a local park. Rex seemed to relate.
Yeah, it's, some days I feel like I need to do that. Curl up the ball.
curl up into a ball. Well, now he's rolling out of the State Department as of this morning when President Trump decided to replace him with CIA Director Mike Pompeo. We're joined by Stephen Walt today. He's professor of international affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School. And Stephen, let me ask you, Sergio Negro from the On Point Twitter feed is asking, why no mention about the criticism Tillerson leveled against Russia? Just yesterday, Tillerson clearly said that Russia was behind the gas attacks in the UK. The next day, he's fired. Sometimes the most obvious reason is the correct one. What's your thought?
I think that, I've seen some similar reports already on Twitter and elsewhere connecting these two events. And at least the counter story is that Trump had, you know, made the decision to fire Tillerson a few days earlier, and there's no direct connection here. That said, it's clear that Tillerson was more critical of Russia and I think was more willing to sort of acknowledge Russia's efforts to manipulate American politics than the president has been. It's also worth noting, however, that Mike Pompeo, the person who's now been designated to succeed him, has also supported the intelligence community's conclusions that Russia was involved here. So in that sense, it's not obvious to me that it's the Russia business that has really driven this, especially as we've already discussed. There were clear differences between Trump and Tillerson on a number of different questions, and I think it was only a matter of time before Tillerson was going to be asked to leave.
Stephen Walt, let me ask you, how is it that the global community is going to be responding to this? Because oftentimes it seemed as if other, you know, foreign secretaries and world leaders were left somewhat confused by whether or not they could actually take Tillerson at his word, not because of that he may have been misleading them, but because he may not have actually been a direct representative of what was going on in within the White House.
I think that has been a problem all along, and it goes beyond Tillerson. The fact is, this has been an administration that's had a great deal of difficulty sort of getting its story straight and then sticking to it. And I think world leaders have already complained on a number of occasions that they didn't know whether U.S. policy was being made by the Secretary of State or made by the president's Twitter feed. And this ultimately is not, you know, a healthy situation when foreign leaders can't chart their course based on a relatively clear sense of what the United States is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, President Trump has said he likes to be unpredictable, and there are maybe a handful of circumstances where that's an asset. But most of the time, and especially when dealing with our friends, what we want to be is sort of steady, understandable, with a clear set of interests and a clear set of arguments to defend and justify those interests, as opposed to the chaos that we've often seen coming out of this White House.
Well, maybe with the appointment of CIA Director Mike Pompeo as the new Secretary of State, some of that steadiness will be achieved. Because this morning, President Trump told reporters that Pompeo is the kind of person he needs as his Secretary of State.
I've worked with Mike Pompeo now for quite some time. Tremendous energy, tremendous intellect. We're always on the same wavelength. The relationship has been very good, and that's what I need as Secretary of State.
That's President Donald Trump this morning. Joining us now is Michael Warren. He's senior writer at The Weekly Standard. He's with us from Washington. Michael Warren, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
So you just heard that that cut from the president saying Pompeo is the kind of person that he needs because they're on the same wavelength. How important is that going to be?
I think it's going to be very, very important for the president to have somebody at the State Department that not only he has a close sort of personal relationship with. Mike Pompeo has done a sort of extraordinary thing, which is directly briefing the president nearly every day, which is not something the CIA director normally does. But also, as the president went on to say about Rex Tillerson, the president needs somebody in that position on whom he agrees, and whether it's the Iran deal, whether it's Russia, whether it's sort of the general approach, Rex Tillerson was simply, I think, out of step with the president. That's something that he's long known. You add to that all of the, I think, personnel, not just policy, but personnel issues, really dating back all the way to the beginning of the administration. It was really, I think, only a matter of time.
Stephen Walt, what's your response to that? I mean, I take Michael Warren's point about it's probably potentially a good thing that the president will have a Secretary of State with whom he agrees. But, I mean, isn't there also an advisory role amongst all cabinet members to present the president with information or perspectives that he may not entirely agree with?
Yeah, this is not a president who, let's say a couple of things. First of all, yes, as a general rule, you would like the Secretary of State and the president to be on the same page. You would like most of the senior members of the administration to be in general accord, even if they occasionally disagree or they kick different options back and forth. That said, if Pompeo pushes a set of policies that don't make much sense and Trump agrees with them, that's not going to put the country in a better place. The second question will be, what is Pompeo's relationship with the other senior foreign policy officials, in particular Secretary of Defense Mattis, National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, and by the way, McMaster has occasionally been rumored to be on the way out,
yeah,
too, so you may be seeing more changes there. And then finally, I think with this president, you do have to wonder, you know, how long does he remain on good terms with anyone? We've heard the president say similar things about other people he's appointed in the past, some of whom have lasted a few weeks, some of you who've lasted a few months. As I said before, this is an administration that's sort of notorious for a high rate of turnover. So while I agree with Michael that you want a pretty solid team and you don't want a lot of backstabbing going on between the White House and State, we don't know yet whether or not that kind of relationship is going to be sustained if Pompeo and the president start to disagree about something.
Michael Warren, your thoughts?
No, I agree. I'm making an analytical point about what I believe is the president's thinking on this decision. This is a president who has made some decisions relating to foreign policy that he doesn't really agree with. You go back specifically, I think, and probably the most important policy issue that has driven this decision today is the Iran deal and the decision by the president sort of midway through his first year to recertify the Iran deal, something he really did not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, at the very last minute, changed his mind and decided he was not going to recertify the deal. This is back in June of 2017. And it was only by some last minute scrambling that he reversed himself. But that was in part the push from Secretary of State Tillerson as well as Secretary of Defense Mattis. And then several months later, when the next deadline came up, the president knew what he was going to do pretty much from the beginning. And I think that the pushback that the president was getting from Rex Tillerson on this particular issue is something that ultimately just couldn't hold. There's a difference between sort of a team of rivals all sort of arguing and debating about different things. But when it came to, I think, what the president believes is sort of a fundamental issue and a fundamental disagreement about how to move forward, he felt, and this is borne out by reporting that I had, he felt that Tillerson simply didn't fit the bill.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say quickly about Mike Pompeo is, in many ways, Pompeo has been a valuable tool for the president and the CIA at the CIA. He's done a lot to smooth over the tensions between President Trump and the CIA rank and file. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that at the State Department, but it is something I think the president recognizes in Pompeo, and a skill that the former Kansas congressman has.
Mm. I want to get to a couple of calls here in just a second, but Stephen Walt, let me just get your quick response to that, because, again, this good relationship between Trump and Pompeo might actually, as Michael Warren is saying, behoove the State Department. But, you know, I see other people as looking at Mike Pompeo as one of the most political CIA directors of all time, and they had concerns on that front. Would those concerns then transport themselves over to when he takes over at State?
Well, it would be a wonderful thing if he came in and restored the morale of the State Department, showed that he had a genuine commitment to improving the department, and it's a department that is in need of a variety of reforms, in my view. And if he manages to do that, that would be terrific. And similarly, if he can help persuade the president that serious diplomacy, well-organized, systematic, well-planned diplomacy is a real asset for the United States as opposed to a problem, that will be wonderful. The other question that then gets asked is whether or not Pompeo's own policy preferences, mm-hmm, where he wants to lead American foreign policy will be welcomed by much of the department, or at least by enough of the department, or whether or not he'll have internal resistance. And that just is something we don't know yet.
Right.
It remains to be seen.
I'm speaking with Stephen Walt, professor of international affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and with Michael Warren, senior writer at the Weekly Standard. And we are talking about this big shakeup at the top of the State Department today. Brian is calling from Baltimore. You're on the air, Brian.
Hi, Magna. I just wanted to say that I think Rex Tillerson was one of the only free-thinking members of Trump's cabinet left. He was the only one who had many thoughts that differed from Trump's. And I believe the rest pretty much blindly follow Trump. And I think this goes to show that his priorities are just surrounding himself with people that will blindly follow, not anyone that will stick out against him or have any other thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
As far as who he chose, Mike Pompeo, I just don't see that as a good fit, just switching up different departments. They're different jobs, very specific tasks and roles. And I just think I also don't believe that it would help our relationship with Russia at all.
In right.
fact, I believe it'll go down.
Brian, thank you so much for your call. So, Michael Warren, just your response to what Brian's saying. He doesn't really have much faith in this decision.
Well, I would sort of add some nuance to his assessment of mm-hmm. what Trump looks for. I don't think the president is particularly that dedicated on a lot of policy issues to finding people who are just yes men. It's more of a sort of a personal relationship issue. He wants people around him who give him good advice in his mind, and maybe are giving him the advice that he doesn't think anybody else around him is giving. He often, I've been told, sort of looks outside at the Oval Office, figuratively speaking, to find people who he's not, he feels like he's not hearing that side of a particular issue on. That's why he calls up a lot of his business friends and actually even former White House aides. I think Mike Pompeo has fit into that position because he's at the CIA
yeah.
at Langley, not in the White House.
Michael Warren, hang on for here for just a second, because to sure. your point about the president seeking advice outside of conventional circles here, it's interesting to hear that, because I think sometimes the president himself publicly has projected an entirely different perception. I mean, he spoke with Fox News's Laura Ingraham in November of late last year, and Ingraham asked him about all the positions, for example, that were still unfilled at the State Department and some of those jobs going away as part of Rex Tillerson's reform process. But when pressed by Laura Ingraham, Donald Trump said it didn't really matter if those positions were filled anyway. Here's what he said.
But Assistant Secretary of State, you're not getting rid of that position.
But let me tell you, the one that matters is me. I'm the only one that matters, because when it comes to it, that's what the policy is going to be. You've seen that. You've seen it strongly.
So that sounds quite different than what you were just saying before about the president seeking external advice.
Well, I think he seeks external advice from principals. I don't think the president has a lot of faith or even really interest in kind of bureaucracy and making things work. There was actually a moment that I was thinking about this morning from the very beginning of the administration that sort of showed you how this relationship between Trump and Tillerson was getting off on the wrong foot. Elliot Abrams, a State Department veteran of two Republican administrations, was up for deputy Secretary of State. He was a Tillerson choice. He was somebody has seen who could sort of help organize the State Department. Actually had a meeting in the Oval Office with Tillerson and President Trump that all parties seem to think went very well.
Mm.
And then sort of unexpectedly, I think there was somebody in the White House who thought that Elliot Abrams was not sufficiently pro-Trump. Very quickly, Elliot was sort of taken out of the running for that position. I think that reflects sort of the way that President Trump views the bureaucracy and the need for organizing. The only thing I would push back on and say is that as long as there's somebody in that position that the president trusts, I would not be surprised if Mike Pompeo sort of takes the initiative to remake the State Department however he sees fit.
Right.
But really, I don't think we'll care too much what that looks like as long as it's not causing him any sort of problem.
Well, Stephen Walt, we've just got about 30 seconds here before the break, but I want to give you a chance to weigh in.
Well, just quickly, Trump, of course, ran in 2016 against the foreign policy elite of both parties and was opposed by many senior Republican foreign policy experts. So he's always had, I think, an aversion. He's also been a president who likes adulation. He likes his cabinet sitting around and talking about how wonderful he is, and I don't think he's been particularly comfortable with people who consistently disagreed with him on things where he had strong instincts. So in that sense, I think, yes, there's a danger here that we end up with an administration that has a little too much groupthink in it, because that's what the president is comfortable with.
Well, that's Stephen Walt. He's professor of international affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. We're also joined today by Michael Warren, senior writer at the Weekly Standard, and we are talking about the big shakeup at the State Department with Rex Tillerson out and Mike Pompeo on his way in. Hello, Kitty 0580 tells us, this is not surprising. I'm not shocked. I mean, first of all, Rex Tillerson had no business being Secretary of State. Mike Pompeo has even less business being Secretary of State. Tillerson is probably breathing a sigh of relief. So we'll hear more from listeners when we come back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point. This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about the big shakeup at the State Department, with President Donald Trump deciding today that Rex Tillerson is out and CIA Director Mike Pompeo will be replacing him as the United States' top diplomat. We've got lots of comments here. This one from our website, Honesty, says, if replacing Tillerson results in abandoning the Iran appeasement deal, then that will be a good thing for the U.S., Mideast, and the world. All the European companies who ran into Tehran to make deals will not be happy. So what? I'm joined today by Stephen Walt. He's at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and by Michael Warren, senior writer at the Weekly Standard. Let's go to the calls. Michael is calling from Chestertown, Maryland. You're on the air, Michael.
I'm quite uncomfortable with the appointment of Pompeo. Pompeo is a zealot. He is an extremist. He, when he was a member of Congress, continually pushed the criticism of Clinton and the Benghazi attack. Mm-hmm. He goes in person as CIA director to brief the president virtually every morning, and he has politicized the CIA, and he sucks up to Trump no end, which Trump loves, and I don't believe that he will tell Trump what Trump doesn't want to hear, which Trump never likes anyway. Pompeo is very bright. He was first in his class at West Point.
Yep.
He graduated from Harvard Law School, cum laude. Well, so what? Very intelligent extremists and zealots are even more dangerous. And the Iran deal, which is supported by every other G8 country and a NATO member, and the North Korea negotiations are in danger.
Michael, I'm going to take it back from you there. Thank you so much for your call, because you've given us a lot to think about. I'm going to turn now to Anne Applebaum. She's joining us via Skype from London. She's the global opinions columnist for The Washington Post. Anne, welcome to On Point.
Thanks.
So
delighted to be here.
I'm glad to have you. So the caller just got us to a place where I want to spend some time exploring, and that is what we can discern about the direction that Mike Pompeo will take U.S. foreign policy based on, you know, the things and he said before and the actions that he's taken both at the CIA and as a congressperson. I mean, what can you divine about where we might head?
I think you need to take one step back and look at why Tillerson is leaving in order to understand where we may be going. Completely coincidentally, yesterday I had a conversation with somebody who has worked with Tillerson at the State Department, and he was describing how the department functioned. And he said, well, you know, we make foreign policy without Trump. You know, we ignore his tweets. We don't pay any attention to what he says. We just go on acting like we're a normal administration. And that struck me 24 hours ago as, well, that's an interesting way to conduct foreign policy, mm-hmm. but I wonder how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
And now we see that it doesn't. So it seems clear that Trump has wanted somebody who somehow reflects more his own view, whatever that is. And I think one of the complications is that he's so erratic and he comes up with so many different views in the course of a single day that we don't really know yet. And I can only assume that Pompeo has been chosen because Trump feels somehow more in sync with him.
Well,
and so for that sense, I would look less at what Pompeo has said or thought in the past and more, you know, is he somehow reflecting of, you know, of Trump's desire for more action, for more chaos, for more changing more things. You know, that may be the real reason why he's been selected.
Okay. Michael Warren, what's your response to that? I mean, the president basically has said, he said this morning that one of the strong reasons was that Mike Pompeo is a person that he could work well with and see eye to eye.
Yes, I think so. And yeah. I think that it has to do with both their personal relationship and as well as their the fact that they are more in sync on policy. But, you know, President Trump doesn't have sort of hard and fast views on a lot of particular issues. He does not like the Iran deal, but he doesn't really have a strong view about what to do about it. Mike Pompeo, on the other hand, is somebody who has thought a lot about this. He thought a lot about this and argued against the Iran deal in Congress. He is somebody, as the caller said, very intelligent. I don't think the caller would be particularly happy with any Trump or even Republican appointee to this position. But he's certainly much more in the mainstream of the Republican Party and the Republican foreign policy sort of establishment or community than somebody else that President Trump might appoint to that position. And I would give much more weight to that personal relationship that Trump has with Mike Pompeo than any sort of policy alignment. I think that the both of those kind of help to make the president feel more comfortable. But again, he doesn't have very many sort of hard and fast positions on things. He relies on people like Mike Pompeo to sort of fill in the gaps. I don't think Tillerson was very effective in sort of the skill of convincing the president that it was in his best interest to follow what Tillerson was advising.
So to your point about relying on people, the president relying on people to fill in the gaps, I mean, this is why I am deeply interested in the kinds of things that Mike Pompeo has said. I mean, he's hawkish in his politics. He's as we've just been discussing for the hour, he's eager and unafraid to speak his mind. I mean, just last summer, July 2017 in Aspen, Colorado, it was reported that Mike Pompeo, you know, speaking in Aspen, basically accused the Obama administration of, quote, inviting the Russians into Syria. He also strongly hinted that the United States was considering ways to seek regime change in North Korea. And as he has said repeatedly before, he said that Iran has no intention of complying with the nuclear deal. So Stephen Walt, I mean, help us understand, like, these are things that Mike Pompeo has been very, very clear about. To Michael Warren's point, if those are the gaps that are being filled in now at the State Department, what effect is that going to have on our foreign policy?
Well, I think if Pompeo were allowed to sort of unilaterally do some of the things he has occasionally talked about, it would be a disaster for American foreign policy, and it would do enormous damage to the Trump administration. I mean, when you're in Congress, you can afford to be irresponsible and posture a lot, and I think some of what Pompeo said in Congress can be seen in that light. With respect to the Iran deal, he will face the same problem that Trump faces and everyone else who's criticized the deal, and that is, well, what's your alternative, right? If you tear up the deal and Iran decides to pursue a nuclear weapon, then you're responsible for Iran going nuclear. And if you decide you want to prevent that, you're responsible for another war in the Middle East. So, you know, people who don't like the deal still have the problem of trying to figure out a better alternative. And then finally, you know, if Pompeo comes in and tries to drag the State Department in a direction that it really doesn't want to go or that key officials think is unwise, then he will face lots of internal resistance. There will be the usual leaks to the press. He'll get criticized in a variety of ways. So, you know, he clearly has strong views. He clearly has an image of American foreign policy that's more hawkish than most. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's whether or not any of those policies actually work that will matter. And one of the things that I just add to that is, you know, this is an administration that has yet to be able to post any real successes in foreign policy. You could argue they have made some minor progress vis-a-vis North Korea, but it's still at the sort of symbolic stage. And if they run up into the midterm elections with nothing positive to show, if they then have to try and run for re-election with having sort of angered, annoyed, or upset most of America's allies and achieved no real gains against our adversaries, that's going to be a fairly hard record to defend.
So, Anne Applebaum, I mean, you're there in London. Respond to what Stephen Walt says.
So in London, the conversation goes a little bit differently. The conversation is, how do we deal with the world that has been totally disorganized and our alliances, which have been possibly irreparably weakened by the Trump administration? So it's not just that the Trump administration has no successes. It's seen as an actual problem, and we debate whether this is a worse problem or other things. Trump is seen as having undermined, you know, several decades of building American friendship, several decades of policy, the creation of smooth trade regimes, the creation of, you know, allied military operations. You know, all of that is seen as having been destroyed. So, the appointment of Pompeo is going to be greeted as one kind of, you know, okay, we're going to roll our eyes and get ready for another barrage of chaos and another barrage of disorganization from the United States. So this is an administration which, from the point of view of from abroad, looks almost entirely negative. And we can't find anything good to say about it. I mean, even the British government, which would like the Trump administration and which is led by a prime minister who's very isolated because of the country's decision to leave the European Union and who came to the United States and made it, she was the first foreign leader to meet Trump or one of the first. She made a big effort. You know, there was a photograph of her holding his hand, walking down the stairs, which has been replayed here a lot. Even they have been stung repeatedly. Trump attacked her on Twitter one time. Just yesterday when she made a major statement about this Russian spy who was poisoned in rural provincial Britain. The White House statement was seen as really not quite supporting the British on mm-hmm. this. And so time and again, they haven't been supported by this administration. And I think everybody here is just going to brace for more turmoil.
Wow. It's interesting that's the view. I mean, interesting, understandable that that's the view from Britain, especially given their own foreign minister, Boris Johnson, who, you know, hasn't exactly covered himself in glory in that post. But let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Sarasota, Florida. You're on the air, Jeff.
Hello, Magna. Great show.
Thanks.
I just want to make a quick point. Rex Tillerson, I believe, was a voice of very calm reason in this chaotic administration. And if you look at what's going on, if you look at the big picture, you're missing the obvious. If you put all these recent events together, Trump and the hawk establishment, which Pompeo represents, and I think Trump is a puppet for, they're planning to take us to war in North Korea, and it's very deliberate. Putin knows this. That's why he made the announcement about a week ago and sent out the animation on the web of the nukes falling on Mar-a-Lago. And also he tested that hypersonic missile 2 days ago. And this meeting that Trump has distracted everyone with Kim Jong-un is a complete illusion.
Okay, Jeff, thank you so much for your call, because I want to get all our guests a chance to respond to that. Michael Warren, what do you make of Jeff's theory here?
I don't think that it's certainly not the consensus. It certainly was not the view in the Trump administration, even among the hawks that Tillerson was a voice of reason. In many ways, he incompetently ran the State Department, and that was a frustration even within the State Department. The idea that the president himself has sort of been captured by the hawks doesn't really necessarily play out with his own views, largely unformed, but his own views on foreign policy. I think this is sort of overstated, and Pompeo is very much within the mainstream of the sort of conservative foreign policy establishment that Trump is not a part of.
Yeah.
I think that is something to keep in mind, that while we think about, for instance, the issue of Russia, just a couple of days ago on TV, Mike Pompeo was asked about the question of Russia interference in the election, something that President Trump maintains did not happen. And the CIA director, who's now the Secretary of State appointee or nominee, is said that absolutely Russia interfered mm-hmm. in the election. So this is not somebody who is sort of blindly, the blind leading the blind here.
Let me just jump in here, Michael Warren, because I got to say, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. this is on point. Sorry to interrupt you there, Michael, but there's in the last couple of minutes that we have here, there is we've been focusing entirely on the State Department today because it's, you know, it's a major, major part of this story here. But I want to just get quick responses from all of you about the fact that since Pompeo is going to be moving over to State, we have listeners who are asking what happens now at the CIA. I mean, the president has appointed Gina Haspel, or says she's going to be his choice to become the next CIA director. She would be the first woman in that post. It looks like she oversaw the Bush-era rendition program. So Stephen Walt, I mean, what your response to that appointment?
Well, I think it's going to be an appointment that the CIA actually welcomes because it's an insider, and they prefer to be led by insiders than by outsiders who occasionally try to shake things up. I would also anticipate it's going to get some pushback, at least from Democrats in Congress, given her involvement in Bush-era torture activities as well. And I've seen a few stories. I haven't chased them down yet, suggesting that her involvement was fairly deep. I don't think that would bother Trump, given some of the things he has said, and I guess I'd be surprised if the appointment ultimately doesn't go through. But it's likely to at least raise some eyebrows outside of Langley.
Mm. Well, I mean, the current CIA director, Mike Pompeo, while he was a congressman, insisted that waterboarding was not torture. So perhaps not an entirely a big departure there in terms of Gina Haspel taking over at the CIA. And Applebaum, help us wrap up here. I mean, it is a major shakeup. I take your point a little bit earlier that the global community just sort of is used to going up and down the roller coaster with us and the Trump administration. But nevertheless, I mean, where do you see this going with Pompeo at the head of state?
I think we can prepare for a State Department which is now much more directed from the White House. It may be that Trump takes more interest in the State Department. He's shown no interest in it really whatsoever so far. He may try to direct foreign policy in some more open and more obvious ways. We might see him giving orders that are followed in a way that I think Tillerson often would dodge those orders and try and make sure that really crazy things weren't done. And I think we can see an acceleration of the madness. Mm. I think we can see more and more irrational or erratic decisions.
Ann Applebaum joining us via Skype there. Looks like we lost our Skype line to London. But Ann Applebaum is global opinions columnist for The Washington Post. Thank you so much for joining us. And Michael Warren, senior writer at The Weekly Standard. Great to have you, Michael. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Magda.
And Stephen Walt, professor of international affairs at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Stephen, it was wonderful to talk to you. Thank you for helping us guide us through this hour.
My pleasure.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. That's it for this hour of On Point. Thanks for listening.